Amen. Thank you. We want to thank our brothers for leading us thus far in our this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Like I said, 2 more weeks, or someone corrected me and said 10 more days. It goes too quick, and these years go even quicker. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for blessing us in so many different ways. Truly, you have given us so many, many things that so oftentimes we overlook. The air we breathe is a gift, Lord. The water we drink, the clothing that we put on, the homes where we live, all of them are blessings from you, Lord. Help us to receive those blessings, to look to you as a source of all blessings, to recognize how blessed we are, and to recognize that we're so blessed, that we're so blessed, that we're blessed to be a blessing. Help us to be a blessing to others, Lord. Help us to share our love, to share all that we have with others, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to do a quick two-part sermon series on the miracle of Christmas. And it's a quick two-part one because there's only 2 weeks left until Christmas. And I said, you know what? It'd be kind of cool to have a quick little sermon series. And hold on. Messing up my technology here. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says that in the past, God spoke to our forefathers in many different ways, but in these last days has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. I was thinking about messages, and I remember awaiting a message where I was going to be stationed. I signed up for the United States Navy, and I remember having the whole list of the world to be able to choose from. And I went straight ahead because I was Navy. I was looking to get out of the country and see some new lands and stuff. So I think I put like Japan and all these foreign countries and stuff. And they gave me the closest home possible, Norfolk, Virginia. It was just like. But was cool because from Norfolk, Virginia, you go see the world. It's like the main hub. So it still worked out in the end. But I just remember the anticipation of waiting. Right now, I'm sure there's some kids with that anticipation of waiting, right? What's under the tree? And you see the nice little gift and the bow and all that. What's under the tree? And you just can't wait. And we've been waiting. And I'm sure there's some messages you were waiting for. Is it going to be a boy or a girl? Well, for centuries, the world had been waiting. Waiting for a message. The Jews had been waiting for their restoration message. How is it that we're going to be restored and be able to come back to our former prominence? They've been waiting this message, and this message finally came on Christmas morning. No, it wasn't a gift. It wasn't a scroll. It wasn't anything fancy and anything like that, but it came through a person named Jesus. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, and at many times and in many various ways, but in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son. See, God always used ways in order to be able to talk to man. And in the past, He spoke first through the prophets, or He spoke through the patriarchs, and then also through the prophets, and He would share messages to them to be able to relay to the people. And the prophets would receive this message and share it with the people. God would also speak through his miracles as he was showing his power, his presence with his people. As he split that Red Sea open, he's showing them that his power and his presence is with each of them. And of course, he gave them the word. He gave them the scripture to be able to show them what to do and what not to do, and to show them about who he is and what he likes and what he doesn't like. All those things were there, but yet something was still missing. You know, it's kind of like a movie. Crystal and I were actually laughing about it. We go through and start looking through Netflix, and you start looking through the little movie trailers and all that. And some of the movie trailers, just a hint, don't give the whole movie away in the trailer. Just a hint. All right? but a good movie trailer, they're going to give you just enough, a tease. They're going to give you a preview. This is what you can expect, but it's not going to give you the full story. And that's what the Old Testament was doing. It was giving us a preview, what to expect and all that. It was giving us some highlights, what to expect. But we wouldn't see the fulfillment of it until Jesus comes on that manger scene, until the message is actually here. But they were waiting. They were waiting Jesus. And then Jesus comes. It says the Word became flesh. And he made his dwelling among us. And we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh, the Logos, the representation, the expression of truth and reason. The infinite God stepped into the finite. The infinite God stepped out of heaven and stepped into this flesh. He made himself. He came and became flesh. And he dwelt among us. Literally, it means he made his dwelling among us. He's pitched his tent with us. Think about that, going back to the Old Testament, right? He pitched his tent. He tabernacled with us. Tents were temporary. Tents were nothing glorious, right? Even the fact that he comes and steps out of heaven to go to a mansion, that alone was enough. But he comes and makes himself the lowest of lows, and even takes on the most humbling of dwelling places. He comes to be with the common man, and not even the common man, the least of these. And here he is, comfortable. He became flesh. He made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and mercy. He is God. He looks like God. He's full of God. And he's right here in our midst. Why would he go to such lengths? I mean, there's Disney has this movie, The Prince and the Pauper. And you've seen these types of movies all the time. And you'll see the prince, and he's out there, and he's looking at his lands. And I wonder what it would be to be like a commoner. And then they'll dress up, and they'll go out there. And this is what it feels like to be among the people. And that's what God did. God, what does it feel like to be with their struggles, with their pain, with their hopelessness sometimes, with all of the different things that they're struggling with? What would it feel like to live, to step into their shoes for a while? And that's what he did. In order to save us, in order to identify with us, in order to overcome the very things that overcome us sometimes, he came and stepped into our shoes to feel what we feel, to be tempted like we're tempted in all points, yet without sin. Why would he do such a thing? Well, there it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus didn't just come to inspire. He didn't just come to give us some cool things to think about, some things to put on bumper stickers and all that, or a cool cross to put around your neck. He didn't come for that. He came to save. As the brother stated earlier, there's nothing that we could do. There's nothing so grand. There's nothing so great about Domingo Reyes. There's nothing so great about you. God came to pay, and Jesus came, in the person of Jesus, came to pay the price for himself, to do what we could not do. That's why he came. And the motivation was right here. God so loved the world. It's love. It's love that would run out in front of a bullet and take a bullet for a child. Or love that would say, you know, you eat and I won't. You know, a parent love for a child says, you eat, I won't. Or it's cold out here and times are rough and all that. Here, you take the jacket. That's love. Love is looking out in such a way how I can help someone else they can't help themselves. And God looks out and says, look, there's a helpless people who are entrenched in sin, who have the sickness of sin, who can't fix the sickness by themselves, who need a savior. And Jesus steps up to the plate and says, here am I, send me. And he steps out of heaven and comes down to this earth to some people who, yes, they were proclaiming him as king, but many who were yelling, crucify him, crucify him. To a world who many received him and then turned their backs on him. Many who scattered and went their own way and all that. And yet Jesus comes and takes it all, recognizing this is par for the course. This is my lot. This is what I've been called to do. And to finish it to the end, to the very end, the cruel cross of Calvary. All of it was right here because he loved us. God so loved the world. He gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Today, maybe there's someone here, you're ready to receive. See, this is the receiving season. This is the gift-giving season and the gift-receiving season. Jesus is out here with this great gift. God is out here with this great gift, and he has his arms extended to give this great gift of salvation out. God so loved the world that he gave. Motivated by his love, he gave. Motivated by his love, he gave. Now will you receive? Will you receive? Maybe there's someone here today and you're ready to receive this great gift. There's a great transformation that happens in baptism. There's a great a gift that happens in baptism. You become remade. You become made new. You become transformed. There's newness that happens in baptism. See, Jesus came. He died. He was buried. And the story's not over there. He rose. He came, he died, he was buried, and he rose. Why? Why did he came, he died, why? He did it for us. He did it for us. He did it to be the atoning sacrifice on the cross. He did it to be the Lamb of God. He did it in order to be, he did it to substitute. He was a substitutionary sacrifice. We should have been on that cross. But instead, he took our place. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose. And he calls us and he asks us to do the same thing. This is called the gospel. See, that's essentially the message of the gospel. That's the message. Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose. Why did he do it? He did it in order to save you. There's a message of hope right there. And so in this message of hope, it's actually in the gospel, the message of hope is wrapped up into something that doesn't look like so much hope. It doesn't look so pretty. It is wrapped up in the death. But that death gives you life. That death brought us life. His rebirth gives you an opportunity for your rebirth. See, because when Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. What we do in baptism, we die. What we're doing is we're replicating, we're imitating what he did. We die. We're buried, and we rise. We spiritually, we change, right? This is why I don't preach just ask Jesus into your heart. This is why I don't preach just confess and that's it. First of all, Jesus never said that. So I'm just going to preach what Jesus preaches. I'm going to preach what the disciples preach. And until you show me Jesus or the disciples preaching it, I won't preach it. All right. But second of all, because it doesn't replicate what this does. You see this image here? Death, burial, resurrection. There's a purpose to water baptism. It's not just a cool thing to do. Not just an add-on thing that we're to do. No, it's the gospel reenacted. It's us reenacting the gospel. As Christ died, we die. As Christ was buried, we're buried in water. In water, something happens in water, right? In the water, our sins are changed. Well, guess what happened in the tomb? Something happened in the tomb. Jesus went from being physical to now being spiritual. When they opened the tomb, the napkins and his clothes, all that stuff was all neatly folded up in there and all that. Why? Because there was no flesh body in there no more. Now, this spiritual, he'd gone already. Right? So now, really, he went, you know. But there had been a change. Well, what happens in our tomb? In our tomb, there's a change that happens. That's why when you rise to walk in newness of life. You're a new creature. That doesn't happen just by saying a prayer and asking Jesus in your heart. And I don't mean to be cruel, because I know there are a lot of people that believe that. I know there are a lot of people that teach that. I don't want to be cruel, but I want to be correct. I want to be correct, and I want to make sure that we're teaching something correct. Does someone have a hand raised? Yes. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. That's an amen. If you had a question, I'm ready to take it. So, amen. Amen. So, well, good to have everybody this morning. Maybe there's someone here today, and you're ready to do something about this. You're ready to receive this message. You're ready to put Jesus on in baptism. You're ready to make that step. The water is ready. Everything is ready. All things are ready if you're ready. And if you have questions afterward, we can talk about it a lot more. We're always ready to answer questions regarding the Bible here. So if you're ready, whatever your needs are, why don't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation.